Whitney. What happened, Whitney? Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome to the call sheet. I'm Keith. I'm here with Gus.
Oh, that is horrible.
Well, such tragic news.
Oh, so horrible.
If you're tuning in live, call in with your Whitney memories, 800-893-9562. She will be missed. Absolutely. Great respect.
Yeah. That's horrible. I mean, it's on so many levels, but a loss of a huge talent, which is, they say cause of death unknown. Is it really? Is it really unknown? I mean, she was only 48. You know, it wasn't skydiving. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was known. You know, I mean, now whether or not she was right.
Your heart could go if you do, you know, if there's things like coke or something like that, you die at 50. I mean, that happens.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, I guess it's unknown in,
they're
it's
gonna
not
say
known which one.
Autopsy is going to be heart problem.
Yes.
Or, you know, heart failure.
Cardiac arrest. Amy Winehouse disease.
And, you know, I don't want to disrespect or anything like that. The family had said they'd just spoken with her half an hour before they had found her. And they tried to do a CPR and pronounced her dead just before 4 o'clock today.
Horrible. I didn't know that until about 45 minutes before I was leaving to come here, and I saw it. Usually when somebody famous from my childhood dies, you're the one that tells me. When Michael Jackson dies, I get texts saying, "Hey, Michael Jackson's dead. Michael Jackson's dead. Michael Jackson's dead."
I texted you?
Yes, you did.
I did.
You did.
I didn't text you Farrah from that morning, but later in the day, Michael died. Remember Farrah Fawcett died that morning?
I think it was Michael Jackson died, and then there was a Farrah joke or something along those lines.
It's like, oh yeah, no one's going to remember Farrah at this point.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
But they do. Farrah too. But Whitney, from, you know, yeah, even The Bodyguard, she crossed over into movies and great success, you know, and everyone's rooting for, you know, a comeback and wants people to look well and be well. And obviously she just had, too many struggles.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I heard somebody talking about it today. The ironic thing is, first of all, people love to blame her problems on Bobby Brown. And I don't know whether or not, I don't know. Hard to blame. How do you place blame unless you're one of those two? How do you know who, they both had the option of not doing whatever it is they were doing. But they've been divorced for 4 years, 5 years, something like that. And he apparently is touring right now with New Edition and supposedly clean and sober and in another relationship. And she obviously was having a hard time getting over it still. Not necessarily him, but the struggles that they had together, which is interesting because people like to put it on him because she always had that wholesome image before she met him. But I think a lot of that had to do with the voice and that adorable face. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, you're on crack. Oh, gotcha. It's got to be the husband. And that's tough.
He reports he's broken up and was crying before his concert.
Of course.
Breaking news, a search warrant issued. They want to cordon off the hotel room and look very closely at what's in the room. Beverly Hills police have sealed off the room and will not enter until they obtain a search warrant. Although police could seize items in plain view, we're told they want a top to bottom search of the room. This is from TMZ. Breaking news. Dead at 48 years old. Wow. Way too young.
You see the photos that came out where she was, I think it was from Thursday night, where she looked hammered?
Tore back. I'm looking at them right now.
Hammered.
Wow. On TMZ, there's some photos of her looking a little like she should be on the Rogues Gallery. On True TV, she absolutely looks like a suspect or something. Poor thing. Poor thing. On her hair, Whitney. So that's the thing is that the people do totally suck up. They totally enable. Was she alone in this? Well, did she still have entourage and people in the house?
Apparently, that's who found her. The hotel said she has she had a tremendous entourage and now, or size wise at least, and so that's one of them is who found her.
So who tells Whitney or Michael Jackson or anybody of that ilk?
Nobody.
Who says stop? Don't stop paying me. Don't.
Nobody. Well, here's the thing: is you can say that. That's not going to stop him anyway. I mean, probably the best chance is close friends and family, but let's be honest. You know, the person has to be willing to go, oh, okay, I have a problem. Got it. And that's even if you get that rare occasion where you have people close enough to intervene and make that person understand. But outside of that, if you're an employee or if you're a coworker or something like that, and you say, hey, you know, yeah, I think you have a problem. And that person says, I think you should suck it.
I think I have a bunch of friends who are assholes. Man. No,
yeah. And then what do? You go, okay, well, so you've just cut yourself off and that person's still doing everything they've done. Dr. Conrad Murray, I mean, like, what's he going to do? He had no practice going. He owed money, and some weird looking superstar who says, hey, you know what? All you have to do is keep me alive and give me this drug and get me to sleep and back awake and keep me alive for your time frame, and your financial problems will suddenly be gone. You owe thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So obviously your practice is not going that well. Here, just keep me alive for a while. That's all you have to do. How is he going to say, nah, you know what? Maybe this isn't healthy for you.
See, now with Michael Jackson, there were trials and accusations, and you know, people there were settlements, etc. With Whitney, it didn't seem like there was a clear cut case of Hollywood turning its back on her, or no one, you know, continuing.
No, there was sympathy for her.
The drugs were the problem.
Yes, there was sympathy for her.
Wasn't anything other than that I had seen as any scandal or anything for, you know what I mean? Exactly, the sympathy.
Yeah, well, she got the sympathy card because they seemed to basically transfer all the scorn, for lack of a better phrase, at the husband. They always went, Bobby Brown was the guy because he seemed like the bad influence. But the only time I can really remember Whitney taking, you know, not getting that much sympathy is when that reality show was on, which was basically her just looking like she's cracked out of her face hanging out with Bobby. You're like, ooh, one of the reasons you get all this sympathy is because you have this clean, cute, adorable image or beautiful face, beautiful voice, hell of a talent, and you used to have that clean image. You know, people have heard things, but now you're showing them that you look like you're, you know, Bobby Brown's cracked out wife. And that was the only time I remember her not getting sympathy. But then, you know, it was, oh, they divorced. Oh, she's having a comeback. Oh, that's fantastic. She's going to have a comeback. That's great. Oh, fantastic. And
she was supposed to.
Yeah. And then she was supposed to perform hours later that night, hours after she was pronounced dead. She was supposed to perform at a pre-Grammy party. Clive Davis's pre-Grammy party.
Right, which is going on as scheduled, according to TMZ.
You're going to tell everybody?
The party's on.
Yeah. One performer's not coming, so
I wonder if the Grammys is going to do anything special in memoriam for Whitney.
You would assume.
Sure.
You would assume outside of outside of close family and friends of Whitney, probably the director of the Grammys is the most pissed off person. But that is,
well, so
that
Whitney, is so, you know, if anyone has any memories or anything or wants to add a note on Whitney, 1-800-893-9562, tough. It's a totally developing story. It's happened so just hours ago. Whitney, you will be missed.
People from my childhood are just dropping off. Celebrities from my childhood are just dropping off. Michael Jackson, they killed Gary Coleman. I don't know who they are, but maybe his wife. I don't know. I don't know who did that. Who killed? Someone killed Gary Coleman. Whitney Houston is no good. I'll tell you what. When Fonzie goes, that's it. I don't need to be here anymore. They should be. If science is
what
doing
about Potsy?
Anything,
if Potsy goes, are you
Potsy might
trouble?
Have already gone. I don't know, but
Ralph Mouth.
If science is doing anything smart, it should be that they should have already been cloning Henry Winkler. They should have cloned Henry Winkler, so God forbid something happens to Henry Winkler.
Even older Henry Winkler. Like, well, come on. I mean, Fonzie, yes, those ages, but now Henry Winkler?
No,
you want to clone him?
No, you cloned him 25 years ago.
Oh, sorry.
And so, you know, God forbid something happens, boom, you just, no, you're fine. We've just, you're the Dread Pirate Roberts. You're fine. Boom, there you are. It's the new one. And as something happens to him, that's all right. We got, you know, Fonzie C, and there you are. They should be cloned.
Well, not only are they dropping off, but when we grew up, there was different age. You didn't have to be between 14 and 17 to be a star. There were actually, we had like Phil Bald, lead singer rock stars. We had Phil Collins. We had like Robert, you know, Palmers and,
yeah,
you know, even Robert Plant or whatever. You know, look at Mick Jagger and stuff like that. Today, it's a very youth-obsessed culture. So all of the people that we know We grew up in the 70s. You know, of course they're passing away. They were already in their 40s.
And I mean, you look at Michael Jackson, you shouldn't say, well, he was a vision of health. Who would have thought he would have gone? But still, you know, he didn't even seem human. So I wasn't necessarily sure if he was ever going to die. But
the autopsy said he was very physically fit.
That's bullshit. There's no way. He was like 85% plastic. There's no way.
Can you moonwalk?
Yeah, well, no. No, I can't.
You got to be physically freaking fit to moonwalk.
Now, this is, speaking of moonwalking, by the way, and this is a huge left turn, but if you're going to say moonwalk.
No, go.
I just saw Apollo 18 about 5 hours ago. I saw Apollo 18. Have you ever seen that? You know the movie I'm talking about?
I wanted to see it. I know you do the alien thing.
Oh, I love the alien thing. But I'm always worried about the found footage type movies because one, they love to run around with the camera, which means like Cloverfield. Remember Cloverfield?
Oh, yeah.
And Blair Witch. I threw up like 14 times each during that movie. Like, I take Dramamine before I watch. If I was to watch Blair Witch, seriously, Dramamine. I can't do it.
Apparently Chronicle is the same way. Videotape footage, but because their powers are telekinesis, they levitate the camera and it turns all steady cam smooth. Genius. Thank you. That's actually a pretty genius idea.
I'm willing to give all sorts of leeway in my suspension of disbelief in order for them to keep the camera steady.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm fine with that idea. That would be a fantastic
idea.
What'd
you think of Cloverfield?
Disappointed. Disappointed. Seemed fun. You know what? Enough with the, hey, we're not going to show you the thing. Like, I don't want to, you know, if I'm going to an alien movie, it's not because I want to see the humans looking freaked out. I understand that. Show me the goddamn alien.
Worked with Jaws.
Yes. First of all, I've seen sharks. Second of all, eventually, I have actually, they show it
up
to you.
Up close, have you been seeing sharks?
Oh, good Lord, no.
No, okay.
No. History Channel.
I know what a shark looks like.
Discovery Channel, yes. But I mean, they show you enough of that. That was well done. But they've been trying to capture that the whole time, you know, since then. And that's tough to do. That is tough to do. But
so Apollo 18.
Fun concept. Slow. Ridiculously slow. Like, I didn't want to wake up the guy to my left. I was like, dude, you know, I'll let him know that he missed nothing when he wakes up.
Okay.
Fun concept, and some stuff happened, but, you know, it's the found footage thing, and you're going, okay, great, which is always weird to me because, you know, similar to Blair Witch. Remember Blair Witch became so big because a lot of people thought it was true, and that was their whole marketing campaign. You didn't know who the actors were, everybody thought it was true. Same thing here. They're saying, oh, this is found footage. Secret footage was downloaded to whatever website, which I'm assuming the producers set up, you know, to this, and we edited the footage from here. So supposedly this is 1970s footage. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Unless you go to IMDb and look up the movie, in which case they say, here are the actors playing these people. And you're like, oh, well, yeah, I guess if you don't look up the movie before you see it, and you don't know anything about marketing, then you go, oh wow, that's crazy. No, I can't believe NASA.
You're not gonna believe it. I mean, this is the willing suspension of disbelief, Gus.
Yes. And it was a fun concept. You need more shit to happen. Like, I mean, it was a whole lot of waiting and then not a lot of payoff for the waiting. But, you know, I love my alien concepts. I love, speaking of which, did I ever tell you about, our producer over there and his, what I want to do with him?
What do you want to do with him? Poor Jeremy. Just put the headphones on. He's like,
I have no idea what you're talking about, man.
That's okay. Nobody was talking to you.
I'm just talking about you.
Jeremy very well may have been abducted. As a matter of fact, he may have been abducted this week, as far as I know, but I would love to, and my co-host on the weekly wrap-up, Kike, actually, hopefully is in the process of setting this up for me now, has a friend who's a hypnotherapist, and I would love, absolutely love to get Jeremy to be hypnotized in, what is it called, regression therapy? Is that what it is?
Good old hypnotic regression.
That is what it is.
A lot of scary things can come out during a hypnotic regression session.
First of all, can I plant shit in your head?
Let's leave this shit regressed if we could. Yeah. In this case, let's let that, you know.
Dude, no, are you kidding? Is that not?
Stuff it far down.
No, the regression I'm looking forward to. The only thing that's questionable is what I'm going to try to plant into his head. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but... You know, I want that sitcom, like, whatever that key word is that makes him bark like a dog.
Would you like to see an elephant?
That's all I want. That, you know, I'm pretty sure every sitcom between, like, 69 and 82 had some hypno episode where somebody would be like, oh, all episode, that the key word sets that person off.
I have a confession.
Yes.
I had a sick obsession whenever the cartoons or kids' shows had hypnosis, or like, you know, I've been taken over by Vicky, I'm a robot.
Yeah,
you know, not quite human. Or what was that called?
I know what you're talking about, but small wonder that show was not as long as it
but
was.
Anytime there was like a possession, or but in the, like, it could be innocent, but for some reason that always freaked me out as a kid. I was like, oh, I didn't like.
You mean,
like,
it can be innocent? What kind of innocent possession? Or you just mean innocent playing around?
In, like, cartoons. Oh, I mean, is that innocent?
That's, you know, pretty innocent.
Super Friends and shit.
Really?
Like
that would freak you out a little bit?
Yeah, that would totally freak me out. We are, and they'd be like all moon-eyed.
I would assume you, of all people, would be like, you know, at the age of two, be like, that's movie magic. Are you kidding me?
No. I still fall for movie. If a movie's good, I will totally crawl in and not think about that it's a movie.
Well, suspension of disbelief is different than holy shit, that guy's possessed. There's a big difference between those two.
Freak me out, man.
I like that. I love the fact that you can suspend your disbelief so much that it freaks you out. That is great. Like, I know this is bullshit. I'm terrified. Love it. I love it. So did you, I know you probably didn't give a crap about my Super Bowl winning Giants.
I had a fun time watching the game.
Did you tune in at least for the halftime show?
Of course I watched the halftime show. That was, you know, you've got to plan to watch the halftime, even if you don't watch the first half of the show. I love how a half an hour, or like, you know, 19 minutes on the clock, or whatever the clock is in football, is actually like 19 minutes in the first half.
Second half is a mess.
When you get to the second half, it's like 3 minutes left, and I'm like, I turned to my girl, I go, Janet, that's like a half an hour. Like,
oh, yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's a weird time, has a strange distortion in football.
And if it was the Giants, like in this case, that last 3 minutes for me was like 12 hours.
I thought there was a couple of times where they blew the clock management on that last run. I know it wasn't the 4 minute drive that Brady ran that was just amazing. It was like, you've got a minute and a half, go for it. But yeah, there was still a couple of blown times, and the clock was ticking. I think thought they burned like 21 seconds on one play for no fucking good reason at all.
Talking about the Patriots' last attempt?
Yeah. Patriots' last drive, which was like, that was pretty exciting. It came right down to the wire. I know you were like, don't fucking
when
score.
That ball, when he threw that ball up, that last
the Giants
ball,
defense won the game.
Yes, yes. But that's when he threw that, Giants' defense brought him to where they were. And Eli's been fantastic. But when he threw that last pass up and it got batted down, and I saw it get batted forward, and I couldn't tell if it was caught by the Patriot that was diving for it, Gronkowski, and I couldn't see, and I went, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. I probably said that 14 times in like a four-second span before you saw the ref wave it off. And then there was like a Tourette's-like rant for a while. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Good game and great halftime show. Madonna did not let down. I thought Madonna's show was great.
What is that? I didn't even know that was the whole spelling with Madonna in the song. That the lyrics with
hey, Jeremy. Don't we have a clip of that part that Gus really hates?
Oh, did you do that for me? Thank you so
of
much.
The Madonna song. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me that.
Play the Madonna. Give me all your loving.
Look at that look on his face. He's like, I was abducted 35 seconds
after
ago.
Whitney. There might be another clip.
It's an audio clip of somebody flipping us off. Is that what it is?
No. There we go. This is, you love this. And the video seems geared towards football and the whole Super Bowl audiences.
And ancient Egypt? Is this some Egyptian thing?
You, me, Madonna.
What is this? What is this? Was that a pep rally? Like,
that's
what was it?
And they did a pep rally.
But they did that beginning. This is awful.
You don't like cheerleaders?
I like cheerleaders, but I don't.
Oh, Madonna.
You haven't ever heard
She's
me
branding herself.
You've never seen me buy a CD that was cheerleaders' greatest hits. No.
All right, let's bring good old Madonna down before we have to pay her.
Yeah.
Well, it's branding, and it's like this. I love the idea of putting her own name in the song.
I couldn't stand it.
And
it
she's awful. Such a pimp that she's got Nicki Minaj and MIA as her like backup singer dancers. That's rolling.
Right that's there. Nice. Although I mean that's not that uncommon for the Super Bowl for a halftime show. You get Aerosmith with Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, but they're in the video. They're in her video.
You get Janet Jackson and somebody pulling her boob out.
They're also on the album. She owns them. She owns those bitches.
Does she produce them?
I don't know if she's kissed them yet, but no, she shares the label with MIA.
Oh, really?
Who also has that Bad Girls video I showed you with them driving around in the Middle East.
And is that a new song?
That is her new single.
Okay, so...
It released at about the same time she flipped off the world during the Super Bowl.
That's my question.
And, you know.
That's my question. So what you're telling me is, and you being in this business, what you're telling me is people are actually shocked. I'm not talking about Middle America. I'm saying Madonna's actually shocked that a person named MIA... who is coming out with a song called Bad Girls, at the same time flipped off the crowd? Like, I mean, or flipped off the camera? Really, is that much? And Madonna being somebody who had a book that's like 80% her vagina, and remember she comes out with that? The Pope at one point didn't like her, or the Vatican didn't like her at one point because she was, you know, she had a whole masturbation sequence, which, love every bit of it, but really, are you that surprised?
She did like a prayer at the halftime show. She even did like a prayer. With CeeLo came out.
Yes, but
Love me some CeeLo. But
she did the I'm 50-year-old version as opposed to, you know, back in the day when you know, she's kissing religious figures and masturbating on a bed in Vatican City concerts and doing all sorts of funky stuff. You know, now you got, hey, have the cheerleaders sing my name in the back of the song. That was brutal. That was brutal.
Little Gwen Stefani for me. It was a little Gwen Stefani who did that a while back.
Gwen Stefani's so sexy, but I think... But Gwen Stefani and Fergie, both of them to me, extremely sexy. Their solo music is like... I don't understand how that's not karaoke music to me. Like, it's silly. Like, I don't understand it. It's similar to this pep rally music, but... That being said, I'm apparently old, and these people are marketing geniuses, so really, I know nothing. It is just my rapidly aging opinion.
But Madonna took every effort to look as young as possible.
She looked great. She looked great.
Flawless.
She sounded great, looked great, performed great.
Yeah, one little slip, she fell off the
I didn't
riser.
Even pick that up.
Nah, it was but she kind of couldn't get up on the first step and had to... And, came up again. It was literally one flaw.
And what did you think of the Art Garfunkel on a Wire thing that she had going?
The dancing Cirque du Soleil freak that was bouncing around there.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, she thought to throw that one into the salad.
That's big.
I don't like cheese on my salad. I don't know.
Do you know how much Garfunkel on a Wire cost? Art Garfunkel on a Wire is not cheap.
I thought she was about to get on the rope and do like a bare minimum stunt or
something.
So did
I. So did I.
She's like, no, that was his time and I'm moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally thought. I'm like, oh, she's going to get in on this. And no, this is Garfunkel on a Wire time. And then she's out, which was interesting. What do you think of the MIA bird flip?
Did you catch it at the time? No, during the show, I did hear her say shit.
I didn't even know that was done.
But it's in the single. She says it at the exact same time and place in the single, so obviously networks should be prepared for that.
You should see that coming.
So what happened was I heard the shit, and I look up or whatever, and I notice they cut to a wide shot of the blimp shot of the stadium and even fuzz that shot for a second. Like, the guy put his finger on the fuzz button or whatever to, like, fuzz out the screen.
Yeah, too late.
But they'd also cut away to the overhead stadium. So you see overhead and then, no, we got to fuzz it out because somewhere in this shot, she's flipping you off. I'm like, really? You go high def, I'm not going to see that shit. But yeah, she did it. And it's like...
It's a satellite photo with the whole city blurred out.
It's fake punk rock like Green Day. It's fake.
I like
kind
Green
of
Day.
Fun. I know, but everyone thinks they're just total sellouts. And, you know, totally.
Well, as soon as you're successful, you're a sellout. Is that not pretty much the case?
Oh, you made money? Sellout. Yeah. I sold, yes, and made money. Yes, I sold out.
Yes. Tougher to make a business or a career out of music if you're just playing it for your friends.
You're just bitter and jealous.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have no problem. And they make political, you know what I'm saying? It's not like they don't have a political statement. They don't have something to say. I don't understand how they can be called sellouts. You may not like them, not you in particular, but I mean, that surprised me. So check this out. Speaking of Madonna, I'm reading this article that said Madonna stalker apparently from 10 years ago, a guy who says he was going to either marry her or slit her throat, which is, you know, you're hoping for middle ground in there, but fair enough. That's what he said. Well, maybe not fair enough. That's what he claimed he was going to do. So they lock him up, and then he, you know, commits another crime eventually when they let him out. So they put him in a mental institution. He escapes from the mental institution.
Escapes.
Like, and I'm reading this, like, what kind of fucking sitcom world where people are just escaping from mental institutions where you're like, okay. So, you know, I go down another article looking for stuff, you know, to talk about here, and I go, oh, Halle Berry stalker escaped from a mental institution. I go, what the hell is going on here? How is this possible? That can we get a goddamn gate or, you know, somebody at the door?
The Joker is getting out of Arkham Asylum.
At least give me a bouncer. Some hefty dude at the door.
Who's watching these people?
Is the door wide open? What is going on? Are you keeping them in a tent? What kind of institution is this? Turns out, oh, and here's another thing is that, and you continue to read, it says this stalker had threatened to slit Halle Berry's throat.
Huh.
Also, horrible, okay. Not funny,
yeah.
But you go.
Really similar to.
Yes, turns out it's the same guy. Same guy, which at least means there's less people escaping, I guess, from mental institutions. It shows you there's not a lot of loyalty, guess, for this.
No, it makes me feel like
stalker.
I felt when the Homeland Security alerts were going up to yellow to orange to red to yellow to this.
But
I mean, felt jilted. Why would they tease the news like that and not connect it? Like, Madonna stalker also went after Halle Berry.
Do you think there's an element, any element at all, at least of Madonna's PR person, who says, really?
She needs her own solo billing.
He'd rather slit Halle Berry's throat now? Seriously? This is bullshit. Get this guy on the phone. Maybe they let him out. They let him out to threaten Madonna over Halle so she can get back in. You know what? She would do that. She might do that. But that is bizarre. I'm glad that guy is caught and he should never be let out ever. Halle Berry's got enough problems. Her baby daddy is smacking people around. Do you even know who Gabriel Aubrey is?
I couldn't spot him in a lineup.
Even if he was wearing a name tag that said, my name is Gabriel Aubrey.
Her baby daddy.
Yeah, which, by the way,
she's not married, obviously.
No, she was. I don't understand. Is she not one of the most beautiful women in the world? And yet, like, everybody, she marries people that either are smacking her around, they're crazy, they're cheating on, like, you're cheating on Halle Berry? Like, seriously, what the hell's happening? But after, like, I think she's on, like, her 75th guy, or maybe it just seems like that because she's so famous. Apparently, though, even though we don't know who Gabriel Aubrey is, the Department of Child Safety Family...
CPS, Child Protective Services?
Yes, they know who he is.
Oh.
Because apparently there's multiple incidents, not the least of which was he shoved the nanny while she was holding the
daughter. I love how people that are with famous people... Like, is he famous in his own right for anything?
No. I don't know.
You know.
I mean, not to us.
That's fair.
Not to us.
That's fair. You could name someone who wasn't Tom Brady or someone else in the game. I don't even know anybody else in the game. So I would go, huh? And so that's fair. They could be known by many people, but not known by other people. So he could very well. But it's funny when they're like...
I'm assuming he's an actor or something.
I mean, it's sad. Of course, Nick Carter's sister had passed away.
Yes.
But that's also, it's like there's relatives of famous people, and that makes news and stuff too. And I mean, I understand Obama's... grandma getting into a car accident or something terrible?
Is that true?
Yeah, this happened this week.
You just make that up? You can't make shit up like that.
Aunt, grandma, the only thing I don't know
okay?
is the relationship. I believe she's okay, yeah, but there was a pretty bad car wreck and they said she was okay. But still, just the proximity to being like celebrity adjacent.
Yeah, yes. Yes, that's still expensive.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine was buying a condo and they said, you know, Angelina Jolie's brother lived here.
Really? Is that true?
The one that she kissed at the Oscars, that awkward, weird kiss. Oh, Angelina Jolie? Yeah. No, her brother. Oh, God. Yeah, hey, I'm doing a movie next week. I want you to be in it. Great. Who else is in it? Stallone. Really? Sylvester? No, Frank Stallone.
Frank,
oh,
yes.
Fuck.
Yeah. No, well, that, in this town, that's probably used last name all the time.
Spielberg's directing Tom Spielberg.
Is it his brother? Actually, no
not
relation.
Not even close.
No relation.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
He spells it different too. Yeah.
He changed his name. His name used to be Johnson. Changed his name to Spielberg. Well,
who else is having trouble in their marriage? The Katy Perry, Russell Brand divorce saga continues.
You know?
Involving Catholicism and parents and
Catholicism.
Oh, no, remember their parents at a church and they were like,
whose parents? Oh, Katy Perry.
Yeah. And anyway, they were promoting the church for that. So what was it? Oh, no prenup. And he says, I don't want your money.
You know what? Good for them. First of all, you know, my theory on prenups, they should be mandatory.
He was with her at his peak, so he was making good money, Arthur, and stuff like
that. Not compared to her.
Yeah.
She owed him $20 million. She made $40 million during their time together.
Wow.
She owed him $20 million, and he said, nah, I'm good. That's your money.
Because it's U.S. dollars.
So this shit is worthless to me. No, they both said, to their defense, they both said beforehand, we don't believe in it. You know, we didn't think. We knew where the other one stood. Apparently not, because your wedding didn't last that long. Your marriage didn't last that long. But we knew where they stand, where the other person stands on finances, on religion, on things along those lines. And neither one of us thought the other one was going to try to screw the other one if they took, you know, if the relationship ended. So at least, even though apparently they didn't know each other that well, at least they stayed to that.
My favorite divorce was the Nicole Kidman and Keith. What was the guy's name Nicole Kidman was married to? And she cites fraud. She goes, I want a divorce. Fraud. And the speculation was like, what fraud? Was it about money? Was it about, like...
Did they ever answer that?
No, but there's all sorts of ruminations.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not talking about the Tom Cruise marriage.
Sometimes their like cover story makes you imagine way worse shit than whatever it really is.
Yes. You know what?
Yeah, no, they're in the hospital for exhaustion.
Well, yeah, we know exhaustion.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
We got to know what exhaustion means.
Yeah, exhausted because you're exhausted taking whippets. You've been taking whippets all day and you're exhausted. Hey, you know what? Before I forget, let's get back to the movie list real quick. Top movie comedies of all time. We already have, as opposed to the sitcom list, we have a shitload of movies on here already that I'm sure we can chop down, but top comedy movies of all time, call in 1-800-893-9562. We have a lot of movies on this list already. Let's take a look at this puppy. You had mentioned just earlier today, The Jerk, you had mentioned.
Oh, I was saying there's got to be tons of Steve Martin movies we can talk about, but The Jerk, I love All of Me. I don't know if it's on the list, but The Jerk should be on the list, like top 10.
The Jerk is hysterical. Come on now.
All of Me was dated. I tried to watch All of Me, and I honestly couldn't make it through the first 20 minutes.
I mean, this would be hard. This is going to be hard to get down to less than 20. I say we go top 20.
Three Amigos.
No, that's fun. Yeah. Three Amigos.
It went there. It's funny. It's
I like Three Amigos.
You like some Three Amigos.
I do. I also put Weird Science down temporarily.
Yes.
That was in that era. I don't know if that's going to make it.
But our real
20.
Genius, we're not going to do my science project.
Real Genius was fun. Real Genius was good. That was, what's his face?
Well, we're at that time we found you naked with
Val
a bowl
Kilmer.
Full of Jell-O. And I was hot and I was hungry. What?
Val Kilmer was great.
You ever had that drink, the one where you're on your top of a pyramid in sun god robes and they're throwing little tiny pickles at you? No, not that one. I love me some Real Genius.
There's movies that I don't think can get taken off. Airplane, that's Never. Definitely on.
That's on. Star next to it.
Yeah, that one's already circled. Ghostbusters, I love me some Ghostbusters.
Blazing Saddles.
But now here's the only reason why I'm not circling Blazing Saddles
why?
Yet.
Is History of the World Part 1.
That's the other reason. Is how, you know, and I mean, at this point, we leave them both on and we'll see what we're down to. But I'm, you know, I'm looking at it and I say, hard to know how many Mel Brooks movies we can put on there. There's so many good ones.
Anything else newer, like Hangover, that we're just spacing on because, you know, today, every year, something hits and then they just wash it away with the brand new hit. Is there something where, like, Something About Mary should be on the list?
Something About Mary is on the list.
That was one of those kind
Kingpin,
of things.
Kingpin, Bridesmaid, Hangover.
All Farrelly Brothers stuff. And wasn't there a passing of Bobby Farrelly's son?
Oh, I don't know. That sounds right, though.
Yeah, that was also another loss this week. I just keep bringing people down.
Yeah, holy shit.
But the comedies. I loved Love You to Death.
Love You to Death. Was that Bruce Willis?
Kevin Kline, Tracy Ullman.
Oh!
He's trying to kill him.
River Phoenix.
River Phoenix.
Yes.
William Hurt, Keanu Reeves. That's a pretty funny movie.
That is a funny movie. That is definitely a funny movie.
Moonstruck.
Moonstruck, also a good movie.
That's a top comedy. That's
You think that's making a top 20? You think either one of those is making a top 20? I like them both. Both worth mentioning. But my question is as I'm crossing things off the list, am I writing?
If I was drinking wine over beer, I would choose Moonstruck over Caddyshack. Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, it depends on your taste. Do you want something really silly and like, you know, sophomore? Right, do you want your Animal
for you,
Houses?
I will write Moonstruck down and then we can maybe take, we'll see
that
if that
could
makes
lead
the
us
list.
Off into other directions.
But I'm looking at this list right now. There's some of them that you can't tell yet. Like Summer School. Summer School was fun. It's not making a top 20 comedy of all time.
A little too throwaway, sure.
Yes. Fun. Fun movie. And there's certain movies that are very 1980s, for instance. Very, very. It's smothered in 80s.
Mm-hmm. Meatballs. One Crazy Summer.
Meatballs. I'm writing
sure
Meatballs
thing.
Down.
You're writing one. Meatballs down, but Moonstruck you had an issue with.
I wrote Meatballs right next to Moonstruck. We'll pretend it's the M section. That's great. Meatball. Now, okay, let me ask you. What would you rate higher? Meatballs or something like Anchorman? Completely different.
You give certain things credit for being early and being something that, you know, stands the test of time where you go, oh, Meatballs. You know what I mean? You get a lot of points.
An early Bill Murray carried film, too.
You know, another one that's a series we haven't mentioned, Police Academy. And that's like one of those that's like, oh, yeah, of course. It would go up there with Airplane almost.
I want to almost say that it was mentioned. I'm looking, searching. Police Academy is on the list.
It is on the list. No other Gutenberg movies. No other 3 Minute a Baby. Three Men and a Little Lady. 3 Men and a fucking Why Did We Make This Movie?
I think we can make one more. No.
I put Raising Arizona. Those are my favorite.
Raising Arizona. Big Lebowski.
I also thought Fargo was a comedy, but not many people agreed with me.
Fargo is a fantastic, fantastic movie. I think every Coen Brothers movie, their dialogue is so funny. Anyway.
I was alone laughing out loud in the movie theater. No one else is laughing. They're giving me dirty looks. I'm like, this is funny shit, people.
Oh, so funny. What was you know what movie I absolutely loved?
That's Your Partner in the Wood Chipper?
God, that movie was so funny. It's so good. What was the movie with, oh my God, it's going to drive me nuts.
Who?
It was just a couple of years ago. It was a fake superhero kind of movie. The kids.
Kick-Ass?
Yes.
Like
that
Kick-Ass?
Did you not like Kick-Ass?
I love Kick-Ass.
Oh, my God. Kick-Ass was a great movie. I thought Kick-Ass was a great movie. I don't know. It's not going to make top 20, but that little girl.
No, not necessarily comedy as such.
Oh, but that
it's
little
dark.
Girl.
It's pretty dark comedy. If you want to go dark comedies, we can talk Harold and Maude.
Yes. Yeah. Great dark comedy. Fantastic dark comedy.
You know, that's something you should write down, Gus. Harold
really?
And Maude. Yeah, because I think a lot of people would be like,
hey,
yeah.
All right, I'm writing down Harold and Maude.
If you want to spread it around, you know, I have network. I have some dark stuff on there, too.
I'll write down Harold and Maude. Boom, on there. Defending Your Life? How did Defending Your Life get on his list?
Because it's pretty brilliant, and it's got Meryl Streep, and you should see
it's
it.
It's got Meryl Streep.
Doing good comedy,
I was gonna say, it's got Meryl Streep is not a reason to get on a comedy list.
No, Postcards from the Edge. That's a great comedy.
Postcards
from the Edge. Very good Hollywood story.
When did my mother show up? Hold on. Postcards from
Beaches.
The Edge.
Oh, I want to watch me some Beaches.
Jesus Christ. Is Lentil funny or
in
no?
The Wind Beneath
Lentil?
My
Wing. I called
wing.
It Lentil, by the way. I like to call it Lentil on occasion. It sounds
Lentil, that wasn't that funny.
Sounds more delicious. Well, I figured as long as my mom was here giving me movies, we'd go with, we got Moonstruck, Postcards from the Edge, and Harold and Maude.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. I do watch a lot of movies.
You were a deep, deep, deep son of a bitch.
Something Wild, a Jonathan Demme movie.
I don't even know Something Wild.
Something Wild, you don't know Something Wild. Ray Liotta was introduced to audiences through Something Wild. Melanie Griffin, you don't remember?
No.
Griffin, I don't remember.
Oh, sure.
I've heard good rumors, but I can't spread them yet till I get a second source. I know I hear stuff
really?
In town, yeah. And
about her?
No, but about something that sounds like Griffin.
Okay, what? Tell me, why don't you pretend you tell me what it was, and then I will tell you again the same information and consider me the second source. I'll repeat the info. Go ahead.
I can't.
What?
I need to confirm.
So what you said is, hey, I have gossip I'm not telling you. Is
yep,
that what you just said?
I'm totally sitting on some good shit.
That was awesome.
Yeah, sorry.
That was awesome.
I hate
okay, hey, everybody.
No,
everybody, focus in and read my mind. No? Nothing? Okay. How'd that feel? That feel good?
I have to do my research. I'm not going to just go out there and tweet stuff. And I hate the fake people have died. Because today I really thought that was happening with Whitney.
Oh, the fake deaths?
Yep. I hate that when it's like, because the other day
Scott
it was like, Cher confirms she's not dead. So apparently for a second, she, you know, oh, Cher died. Oh, my God. I'm dead. You killed Sonny. Now you killed me.
Oh,
one thing. I got one thing.
Oh,
you killed Sonny.
I like the fact that your Cher impression is not far off from the Pillsbury Doughboy if he was angry, which is kind of awesome.
I sound like the gingerbread man in Shrek.
that's exactly who it is. That's a great call. That is hysterical. That is nice. Yeah, Scott Baio gets fake killed every couple of years, doesn't he?
He does.
Yes. Somebody strangled him with his leg bandana, I believe, is what happened.
Oh, no.
I believe that's the story I'm coming with. Do you have two screens in front of you now? When the hell did that happen, by the way?
They added Skid Row Studios, which, if you're listening live, skidrowstudios.com. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher or all these other ways we have to listen, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter and all that good rot. We got another screen here, and we have two screens. My call monitoring screen, calls are taken live, 800-893-9562. They pop up. I see them. It's really cool. And I got the other one for research and trailers and things.
You guys are so high tech here right now. It's freaking me out.
My favorite toy is to be able to play like YouTube clips and stuff, and they play through the soundboard here, and everybody at home gets to hear this great stuff. I'm a total freaking nerd.
Now, speaking of nerd, do you watch History Channel at all? Are you a History Channel guy?
The Hitler Channel? Yes, I do watch that.
Well, dude, first of all, yeah, that is true, because there's a lot.
No, they're doing a lot more future stuff.
Well, yes, but whenever I turn it on and there's war shit, I'll watch a few minutes of it and then I have to turn it off because all it does is make me say, wow, our soldiers are badasses. Nothing but love and respect for the soldiers. Whether I like the politics behind it, the soldiers themselves, nothing but love. But man, would I be a shitty soldier. I mean, just a shitty, shitty soldier. You watch these things and you're like, I wouldn't do any of that. In a cartoon-like manner, I would run screaming with my arms like a Muppet waving over my head. Have you seen Saving Private Ryan?
Of course, yes.
Okay. So here's how I know I'd be a shitty soldier. I go with my friend to watch Saving Private Ryan. You remember how they said veterans be very careful. The first 15 to 20 minutes is so realistic and emotional, you know, you may not want to see it. You remember that? The whole warning. So my friend and I go to see the movie. They go, oh, this is going to be a phenomenally made movie. I can't wait to see it. We sit down, and the movie starts. And before all that chaos happens, bullets flying, heads getting blown off, body parts, they're all packed into the boat on the way to the chaos. Hasn't started yet. And I look at my buddy, and I go, Jesus Christ, that water looks cold. That's how I know I am way too big of a pussy to be a good soldier.
I wouldn't make it to the boat. A boot camp would be, I wouldn't even be make it. I didn't know they could stack shit that high.
Yeah, back then, you're an actor. You could act gay back then. Now that doesn't even get you out.
I love that.
You can't clinger your way out of the military anymore.
Tropic Thunder. Ben Stiller said he made Tropic Thunder because back in the 80s, all his friends were doing war movies and they all said, oh yeah, we're going to like war camp. So for like, you know, a couple weeks or 10 days or whatever, they have to go to basic training and go through the courses and stay in the bunks and they're becoming fake soldiers. And he's like, so he germinated on that idea for 20 years. Yeah, and then came out with Tropic Thunder.
They do. The press does love to, especially when it's a military movie, they love to talk about the training. Like, I mean, dude, Catwoman came out, and I read an article saying, well, Hallie's like she's like a cat when she puts the suit on. Like, really? Is she really? Really? I saw the movie. I don't think she is.
She played basketball really well in Catwoman, though.
Did you really?
Ridiculous sequence, yeah.
It's so hard to pick out the most ridiculous
sequence. I'm about to bring up the Teen Witch rap if everybody doesn't behave. Gary Busey files for bankruptcy. Breaking news. Gary Busey says in the papers, it said that he had less than $50,000 and owed more than $500,000 to hospitals, ex-wives, gas companies, the whole deal.
$500,000?
$500,000 of debt.
Well, to hospitals, I can understand. First of all, he should have filed a long time ago.
Oh, sure.
He should have filed, you know, Chapter C for crazy, like 2 decades ago. But I can see him racking up $500,000 in hospital bills and by Tuesday from now, I can see him doing that.
I'd like to see him establish his credit in a few years with like a Discover card. you know.
Maybe Trump will hire him. Wasn't he just on that show a little while ago?
Is he going to be on the new Apprentice?
Maybe he can be a regular on Wife Swap. Just keeps handing his wife off.
This week.
This week, David Crosby gets my wife. Next week, Ben Stiller gets my wife.
When Gary Busey played music and he was a drummer, he went by the name Teddy Jack Eddy. Just so that,
is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know he was a musician at all. Did he play a musician? What are you talking about?
Did Gary Busey play a musician?
When was he a musician?
Buddy Holly story.
Really?
Yeah, in Texas. Lone Star State. Gary Busey.
That's bizarre.
So Gary told me a story once. It's a secondhand story of Kevin Costner telling a story of Dances with Wolves.
And this is Gary telling you the story.
Like it happened to him. The buffalo hunt, the whole shooting. He's telling the story pretty vividly, like he's there at the time. And I'm like, this is a secondhand story.
and you're not sure if he knows it or not. Holy shit, Gary Busey doesn't know if it's his memory or if he's telling a story. Oh, wow. Was it a good story at least? Because if you're telling a secondhand story and you don't know if it's your own memory or not, and that story sucks.
Oh, I'm horrible at that. I don't remember like theater stories. I don't remember like any of that shit. I couldn't tell you what the story was about. It was something about the buffalo and shooting and that day with the buffalo stuff. But like, honestly, I couldn't tell you. I just remember it wasn't his story and he was really into it. And then the buffalo came over the hill, and it was going, and it's coming. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, call the AD. So, my God, whatever the story was, it was like Kevin Costner had told him. And so he's telling us. How much does it cost to throw a Frisbee now at the beach?
Dude, I didn't know this. I mean, I easily could have been fine just last week. I had no idea. It's the most ridiculous law I've ever seen.
In Los Angeles, California... at the beach, you cannot throw anything but a very safe beach ball or a volleyball between when?
Like Memorial Day and Labor Day, maybe?
They're the same holiday, right?
No. Oh, well,
so like one day...
They might as well be because I don't know when either one
is. What does that mean? So throw all of summer or whatever, you can't do it?
Yes.
So in the winter months, you can?
Yeah, you can throw... Well, I think. I didn't even know this law existed.
You go, hey, it's okay if I throw the Frisbee right now?
You see, last week, I was throwing a Frisbee, like one of those aerobies, one of those, thing's going to travel 150 yards, probably not accurately, but it's going. So my buddy and I are throwing the Frisbee, and, you know, a little police truck comes driving by. We're in Venice, so they have the police station's not far away, and they come driving by, and they're looking at us, and we're just like, hey, and I'm assuming, oh, wow, these guys are impressed with how far we're throwing the aerobie. Turns out they must have been deciding whether or not they're taking us in or giving me $100. Here's the thing is, first offense, $100. Ridiculous. First offense for throwing a goddamn Frisbee is $100.
Or digging a hole more than 18 inches deep, unless you're a freaking film crew.
I'll tell you what, the person who made that law is a hole 18 inches deep.
I would dig holes 3 feet. I would get in them up to my neck. I would totally dig like huge holes. Of course, walking around at night, you're going to fall into one of them.
Turns out local jails are now filled with 12-year-olds who have been digging holes on the beach.
What are you in for? I was playing Frisbee golf.
I went 19 inches deep, and I couldn't afford the fine. I'm working it off.
Is that just another revenue generation scheme by the city, or was it a relaxation of other law? There actually was a $1,000 fine, and now we're just making it $100 on the first offense.
Like, if you're worried, like, if there's... I understand saying, well, you know what, I'm assuming there's already a rule. If the beach is packed, you can't throw a football over somebody or keep bouncing it off people. The lifeguard will tell you to stop. The police will tell you to stop. But... Well, so why do you need a law? Why do you need a law to suddenly... $100 for the first... you didn't know? You threw a Frisbee? Well, that's $100. You do it again, $200. And then it says three times or more, $500.
That's ridiculous.
Well, that's the only one. The third, the last
you
one, the $500 one
for the
is
beach. I got my towels. I got my cooler. I got my this. I got my toy. I got my Frisbee. You always fucking take a Frisbee to the beach.
The $500 one is the only one that I agree with, because if you get caught three times, you're a fucking idiot. But the whole thing is ridiculous. Just tell me I can't throw a Frisbee on the beach. Don't not tell me. Like, I was there. There was no sign. How would I know?
Technically and legally, it's public property. below the high tide line. Like literally it's, there's no city, there's no government, there's no state. There's like, it's literally public property.
I don't
from
think-
the high tide line down and out into the ocean. Go swimming in the ocean. How far out do you have to go before you can swim, do a Frisbee? 20 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet.
Don't go 18 inches deep. I know that. You go 18 inches deep, that's $100, buddy. $100, 18 inches deep.
Well, for those who haven't seen the Tommy Lee Pamela
video, thank
you
very
much. You all know what we're talking about.
That's a nice reference. That is a nice reference.
Thank you.
So are you, do you believe that 2012 crap? Because after, usually, that's what
metaphor, as a simile, as a transcendental, interconnected, all-being, homeopathic way of looking at the world. Yes, the world as we know it will end December 21st, 2012.
Now, do you believe that, or do you just think that sounds cooler and that would be cool?
I mean, like the age of Aquarius, like, oh, we're moving, we're becoming aware, we're having an awakening.
Yes, but do you believe that's going to happen? Do you believe there is going to be, on what day is it supposed to be?
A great change.
December 21st? Is that what you said?
December 21st.
So do you believe on December 22nd, somebody in Kansas is going to wake up and think anything differently than they did on December 20th.
I believe the news will be so big you will forget that the date was that day.
Really?
And on the day of the 22nd, you'll be grappling with the new circumstances. It's so unimaginable in your mind that you will forget that they even called that day.
Do you really believe that, or you just think that's much cooler than not believing that?
What happened on 1999 when the clocks were Y2K? Oh my God, we're all gonna, what happened? A bunch of people like fucked up or put in back. I mean, it caused more of a ruckus worrying about the damn thing than the real thing. So yes, I think it could cause people to have an awakening, a change, a metamorphosis, something.
Do you know where I was December 31st?
We do have an election November 3rd. So the fact that a week and a month and a week or two after this new election, something could happen. Where were you the week of 1999?
Do you know where I was December 31st, 1999? I was in your apartment watching you and Janet have your internet on going, I forget what part of the world. You're like, oh, this is where the shit's going to go down first. I'm like, what? This is where Y2K is going to hit first.
We're like, let's watch Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, you had Papua New Guinea cam on. I'm like, seriously? Yeah. I'm like, all right, let's see if some shit goes down.
We were rotating cams, and every time it was New Year, we were going to the next time zone and watching to see, like, oh, does it go blackout?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing that blows my mind. We give the Mayans, and I mean, this is actually, this is generally, I'll stop when I'm on the History Channel or something. I'll, as long as it's not something that shows me what a bad fucking soldier I'll be, I'll stop when they're, in a lot of shows. This is coming up big all the time now because of obviously 2012. They're going to, and I'm sure over the next, for the rest of the year until December 22nd, in which case the show is going to be, well, never mind the last 8 months of programming, but they love to talk about that now. And there's certainly things to argue about it or certainly things to give credence to it. But on the other hand, you say, if they knew that much, they'd still be here. What was the last Mayan you bumped into?
Maybe they knew so much that they're not still here.
Maybe they
vibrated right into higher frequencies, alternate dimensions. Maybe they moved forward.
Well, I like it. That's good. Once again, you were a deep, deep, deep man.
Shallow as a baking dish.
That is not.
What are you telling me that has anything to do with me getting Modern Warfare 3? I don't care what you're saying unless it involves me shooting guys on the internet over and over and over again. Prestige! Prestige 5! Prestige 7! Yes!
I would assume there's going to be a big video game, a big movie release, something on December 22nd.
Yeah, that John Cusack movie sucked.
Yeah, there's going to be some sort of, I would assume, there's going to be some big marketing campaign of, like, if you're still alive, make sure you see whatever it is. I'm assuming that's the case. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you. That's, how would they not? How would they not use it?
Yeah. We're live with Fergie at Times Square for, they're going to be parties. They're going to be good parties.
Oh, God, yeah. End of the world parties?
Trip your balls off.
Is Prince going to come up with another song?
I took too much of whatever that was, parties.
Well, that's...
Is Prince going to come up with we're going to party like it's 2012. We're going to party like it's December 21st. Yeah. I can see the end of the world happening. Well, it's the end of the world as we know it. We know that the money markets are tanking. We know that on Drudge Report, they just reported if Obama is elected to a second term, he's going after the Second Amendment. What?
What?
Really?
That's
right there
true.
On Drudge Report. It's all, oh, yeah, he's going to go and do a gun grab. And then the other article is like,
such
no,
horseshit.
Money market's going to crash. Food's going to be 5 times what it costs now. Nobody's going to afford shit. There's going to be riots in the streets. And yeah, they're going to come take your guns. What the hell happened in Katrina? Remember New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is I'm not going to comment or predict how people are going to, you know, how the government might react in case of some sort of, you know, chaotic situation. But, you know, he has done nothing to show that he's coming after your guns. Other than specifically say, I am not coming after your guns. Other than that, you know, other than continuing to say, oh, yes, he is. Well, you know, okay, how do you argue with that?
No, I know. I'm just saying what the Drudge Report had done. I don't believe that.
I
don't think Obama's going to come after our guns.
No.
We're going to be so drugged up from the health care laws that we won't be able to reach for our guns.
That would be nice. That would be very, very nice.
Yeah, you didn't join the health care, so that's a mandatory fine. $800.
No, not for me.
Thank you.
Not for me.
No, you know what? Fine, I'll join the healthcare plan. Great. Come in for your first appointment. You're scheduled Tuesday.
First of all, that's not how healthcare works right off the bat.
A government anal probe.
Mandatory
is part of healthcare. It's free. Yeah. Hey, it's free. You're not even have to pay for this anal probe.
But here's how unrealistic that is. I have healthcare, and at no point in time does my healthcare say, hey, come on in. We want to do stuff already. We want to spend money on you. No.
Yeah, because there wasn't a congressional mandate. You had to pay them. Now there is. And
right,
private
but they're
companies,
paying them. They're still not looking
next?
To do tests. They're
you
still not looking to do extra
Chevy
stuff.
Nova. You have to buy a Ford.
No.
What's the next thing they're going to tell me to buy?
Do you need? Here's the thing: is if you get sick and you don't have insurance, then you go. Who pays for that?
Wait.
Why do you need?
No. I'm freedom of religion. I'm a Christian Scientist. I don't go to the doctor.
Do me a favor. When you see Jim Henson, ask him how that worked out for him.
I think I have a fever. I'm going to take an aspirin.
Yeah, I think I have a fever. I'm going to pray it away. Let's see how that works out for you.
No, I read those articles growing up of those families that let their kids die of simple, you know, appendicitis or tonsillitis, and they died. Little penicillin.
Jim Henson.
Fine.
Jim Henson.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, we have...
Do you believe you should be forced to? Do you have end-of-life rights? And do you believe, like Kevorkian, do you believe that if you do not want treatment for cancer that you have cancer. Now, we want you got to go chemo, you got to do this, you're going to be sick, it's going to be awful, and then you're going to die anyway. Do you want to do that, or do you have a choice to not take that medicine?
I think you're finding such a very rare exception of you're looking for such a small percentage loophole person that says, oh, I'm dying, I don't, or I'm very, very sick, I don't want care. That's the person we have to base our law on. Jim and Edna, those are the two people that feel that way. Like, I mean,
great. Then it's so going to slide to preventive care.
Let me ask you
this. Preventive care will include shots you don't want to fucking get. They're going to include food you don't want to eat.
No, but you've just made the jump from they have to cover us to all of a sudden they're looking to spend and do extra shit. That's still not the case.
Yeah, because now the government and the taxpayers are paying for it.
No, they're not.
And they have to.
They still, the more shit they do, the more. We're paying. They can't raise it on any pre-existing shit. So now they basically.
Now, actually, that's the best thing I heard was we have to take you pre-existing or not. We have to cover you.
Yes.
I mean, that's actually but the best thing in the whole thing. I know there's no public option. Which
right. Now, to me, now, yeah. Now, like I say, for any argument that I say defending him, once you take the public option out, everything else technically is bullshit. And now we're just arguing, is it better than what it was? But to me, I understand the argument of I don't like them forcing you to do shit, and I can understand that argument. However, and you know, and I'm not saying it's baseless by any stretch. I'm not even pretending that. But you need car insurance. You're not allowed to drive unless you get car insurance. Here's the thing is, if you go to the hospital and you don't have insurance, you're paying. Who's paying for that?
Aren't they allowing minors to now get shots at school without consulting the parents?
I have no idea.
Yeah, they are. They're allowing and they're saying that minors, they don't have to tell the parents, they jab the kids at school.
Yeah, and you
HPV,
know what?
Here's the you're thing 12 is, years old, there you go, bam.
Not buying that unless that's in Texas. I'm not buying that story. Unless that's in Texas where Rick Perry's jamming you with a needle and Michelle Bachman's getting retarded people out of it, I'm not buying it. Isn't that what she said? Someone suffered mental retardation?
Good fun. And this does tie into to entertainment only because as an entertainer, as a performer, you're covered. You have health care.
Oh, I thought you were tying it in because the Republicans have been entertaining.
You used to have health care. If you made a certain amount of money, you get health care. Now you have to make even more money, triple what you used to have to make before to qualify. And even if you qualify, you still have to pay kind of a nominal fee. But it's like they really ripped us off in our union. So the whole health care thing, I'm bitter. Would love national health care. That'd be great. I don't want to be fined for choosing not to do that or, you know, pay insurance. Because insurance is different than health care. Insurance, how are they profitable if you give them X amount of money, then they provide that care for you, but they somehow make a profit and can pay their administration and their CEO make money? That's because they're providing the care for less than it's actually worth, so the insurance company shouldn't be a fucking part of it. You go directly to your medical care provider, you pay them.
Well, the fact that... I will say this.
They didn't make it mandatory to go to the doctor. They made it mandatory to get the insurance.
Hold on. Well, if you could have had a public option, well, then right off the bat, you're fine. If you could have had a public option right off the bat, it's a completely different story. And so once you take that away and say, no, we need to protect the insurance companies, well, then it's horseshit. But fact is it's a complete contradiction, to have health care as... You know, as a money-making business. It doesn't make any sense.
Same as broadcast news.
Yes.
Shouldn't be for profit. We're not for profit. We can say whatever the fuck we want on this show. We won't offend anybody but our great listeners. Thank you so much for checking in tonight with us. Congratulations on everyone who made it through the day. And we're very sorry for all the people we lost. Whitney, you'll be missed.
Rest in peace, Whitney.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back next week. Stay tuned, because tonight there's a very live special event at SkidRowStudios.com.
Yeah, so tonight we're doing a Food Not Bombs event here in downtown Los Angeles. Go to Facebook and look on the Skid Row Studios page for information about the event. But we're going to be broadcasting live, so if you can't make it, tune in about an hour, and you can hear the concert live.
Nice.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Boogie by the River Festival on Saturday, March 10th, 2012 at Space Camp, 1726 North Spring Street from 3 p.m. to 12 a.m. This event is all ages and outdoors. Enjoy music and art in L.A. for this one-day event featuring bands Azatlan Underground, Sketch Monster, Raheem Cohen, and many more.
Enjoy live artists as well as vendors from LA's underground scene. Entry to this event is $5. We'd like to thank Skid Row Studios for sponsoring and promoting this event, Raheem Cohen for providing sound, and Space Camp for providing electricity and a space to rock, dance, and enjoy life by the river.
For more information, go to skidrowstudios.com and click on the events page.